Good to see you in church. Impact, and we'll put our hands together and celebrate the amazing worship ministry of this church. Amen. Wonderful. How many people are excited to be in church? I'm going to give these families a moment to sit down. And how many people enjoyed Thanksgiving? Yeah. Some good eating. Amen. Some good eating. Well, I want to give you a little Thanksgiving secret. When you go to eat Thanksgiving dinner, you have to bring some scripture with you. Some scripture to encourage you when you eat. One of those scriptures is, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So you can eat. Here's another scripture. Two are better than one. Amen. If you're going to get one chicken wing, might as well get two. Amen. How many people know it's okay to laugh in church? How many people are excited to be in the building? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this second service. So many people today. I want to take a moment and just celebrate the people of this church, the leaders of this church. Impact, would you help me to celebrate all those that serve us here at this church everywhere? When you see those people wearing their t-shirts, everybody who serves today, would you just take a moment and hug them and just say to them, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for serving. Because of them, we do have a church. Amen. And Impact, I want to take a moment and just thank you on behalf of my wife and I. Thank you for allowing us to be your pastors. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. You allow us to be your pastor. How many people know you can't force people? You can't pastor people and force them. They have to let you in. They have to allow you. Thank you for allowing us to pastor you. And I just want to give you a report. We are doing well, by the way. Amen. That's good news. We're doing well. Our love is incredible. We've never been any better. We go through our own little stuff, but we're doing great. Amen. You missed a good place to celebrate Jesus. We just came back from Disney. We were there for 7 days. We only had one argument. That's good. We've graduated. Amen. Anybody okay with the pastor being real in here? Back in the days, man, we'd have 17 arguments. We just had one. Woo! We're doing good. We're doing good. Amen. But so glad to pastor you. So incredible. We love this amazing church. It's a coat of many colors. Amen. Look around. This is what heaven is going to look like. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today, I'm preaching a standalone message, which simply means it's not part of any series. And I just want to talk to you guys. I want to have some fun here today because next week we're going to begin a new Christmas series. But today, I'll be speaking on a message titled, We Are Rich. Somebody say, We Are Rich. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I want you to smack two or three people and just tell them, be careful the way you act around me. You're sitting next to someone who's rich. Come on, tell them. Be careful the way you speak to me. I am rich. Somebody say, I am rich. Somebody say, I am loaded. Now say it this way. It's bad English, but it sounds good. Somebody say, I is loaded. Come on, if you believe that, somebody just shout hallelujah in this place. Now, next week, we're beginning a brand new series titled New Lens. Somebody say New Lens. A lot of people think, you know, I know the story of Christmas. What else is there to hear about Christmas? Little baby Jesus in a manger and Mary and Joseph. I've heard that already. Well, I want to remind you that the story of Christmas is more prophetic than it is historic. Let me say that again. The story of Christmas is more prophetic than it is historic. In other words, the Christmas story is not just something that's in the rearview mirror. The Christmas story impacts your present and your future. It does. It's prophetic. It's alive and well today. And so this series is called New Lens, a new perspective for Christmas. Because I'm believing God that in the month of Christmas, in the month of December, that God is going to open our eyes and give us a fresh revelation of Jesus. Come on, somebody shout amen to that. a fresh revelation of Jesus, a brand new encounter with Jesus. And so on the first week, which is next week, we're going to be talking about seeing Christmas through the lens of Mary. Seeing Christmas through the lens of Mary. And that's all about surrender. You have to remember that what was happening to Mary was absolutely unusual. Nobody had ever been pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It was strange. It was unusual. But she surrendered to the will of God. And God did something amazing with her. I am praying that in the month of December, God will open your eyes to see the areas of your life that you need to surrender to God. That before you get into 2019, if there are areas of your life where you're not fully surrendered to God, that you'd surrender those and that God would do some amazing things with your life in 2019 in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, Jesus, I surrender to you. On the second Sunday, we're going to talk about seeing Christmas through the lens of Joseph. Seeing Christmas through the lens of Joseph. You have to remember, Joseph was coming from a noble family. He was in the bloodline of King David and King Solomon. Now he's engaged to this teenage girl, and all of a sudden she gets pregnant. Just think about this. You're engaged to this girl, and she tells you, I'm pregnant, and you ask her, who did it? And she says, she's so spiritual, she says, God did it. Just think about this for a moment. Who did this to you? No, God did it. No. I'd be flipping out. Take me to Jose now. I got to meet Jose. Got to meet this dude. And instead of breaking up with Mary, Joseph decides to trust God. And I'm praying that God's going to open our eyes in the month of December, that if there are areas that you're still in control of, that you'd give them over to God and begin to trust him in the name of Jesus. And then on the third week, we're going to talk about seeing Christmas through the eyes or through the lens of the Magi. Seeing Christmas through the lens of the Magi. There were astrologers and astronomers. In other words, they studied the stars. Not only did they study the stars, they also worshiped the stars. They looked to the stars for guidance, but they broke their false traditions. And instead of looking to the stars, they looked to a person, and his name is Jesus. And I'm praying that in the month of December, if there are certain traditions in your life, certain false ideologies, unnecessary things that you're still doing and wasting your time, that God would help you open your eyes to break these false traditions, that God would do a new thing in your life in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. And then on Christmas Sunday, December the 23rd, we're going to talk about seeing Christmas through the lens of heaven. Can I get a good amen right here? We live in a generation where too many people are depressed. The consumption on depression medication has gone to over 300% in the last 5 years in America. And I believe that one of the reasons why people are so depressed, including Christians in church, is that we're too mindful on the things of the earth. We have to remember that we live for eternity. We live for eternity. In the last 2 months, I have been to more funerals. I've had so many friends die like never before. You've got to remember that the story of Christmas, that it was facilitated by heaven. Heaven was rejoicing. The angels were facilitating. The angels went to Joseph. They went to Mary. Heaven was rejoicing. Heaven had a part to play in the story of Christmas. And on this Christmas Sunday, we're going to talk about heaven. How many people want to talk about heaven in church? It's time to talk about heaven. How many people are ready to go to heaven in Jesus' name? Well, you don't get many hands clapping in this moment. I'm not talking about today. Don't worry. We're not talking about a day when your time is right. Somebody shout hallelujah. But I'll tell you this, you better be ready. Better be ready. I had a friend of mine. I was just talking to him over the phone. The next thing, I'm seeing him in a box. Gotta prepare your heart. So I want you to invite as many people as possible as we talk about heaven and usher people into the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen and amen. You've got some flyers in your little packet that you receive. I want you to find somebody. I want you to go to that boss of yours who's atheist, doesn't believe in the existence of God, and tell them, I want you to come to Impact Church with me on Christmas Sunday. And I'm believing, God, that we're going to have the greatest salvation of souls this year in the name of Jesus. Come on. I need everybody in faith to clap and put their hands together. It's time in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, one more time. Somebody say, we are rich. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 8, 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you have experienced the extravagant grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was infinitely rich, he impoverished himself for our sake, so that by his poverty, we would become rich beyond measure. We would become rich beyond measure. One more time, I want you to smack somebody, push somebody, and just tell them, I am rich beyond measure. Oh, no, smack somebody else. They didn't believe you. Tell them, be careful the way you act around me. You're sitting next to someone who is loaded. I am rich beyond measure. Does somebody believe this in this place in the name of Jesus? Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am rich. I am prosperous. Somebody say, we are rich. Now, you have to remember that in the correct definition of prosperity, money and finances are just a small percentage. In the correct definition of finances, in the correct definition of prosperity, rather, finances and money are just a small portion. I know many people who are rich, and they have all the money in the world, but they're poor. Years ago, I had the opportunity of meeting this multimillionaire. He was a Nigerian multimillionaire, and he wanted to invest into a company and start some music label. And I heard that he was inviting producers to his house so they can audition, show some music, so he can hire them. And back in those days, we were making music on computers. I couldn't wait to go to his house and show him my music. I went there with my floppy disks. Anybody remembers floppy disks? Right. I showed up there. And when I showed up there, man, there was a Lamborghini donut. I call it a Lamborghini. There was a Lamborghini. In there, I say it in my Haitian accent, Lamborghini. There was a Lamborghini in there. There was a Bentley. There was a Bugatti. A Buat. It's a Bugatti. There's a Bugatti in there. Mansion, a big mansion in Canton. We went in this house, and he received us. I was dressed in a suit and tie. It's the first time I'd ever met a millionaire, suit and tie. And I showed up, rang the doorbell. The guy came out wearing flip-flops and shorts. I felt embarrassed. But we started talking about music, and long story short, by the way, we got the deal. My friend and I, we got the deal that day. He hired us. The favor of God has always been evident in our life. I declare the favor of God in your life right now in Jesus' name. Speak it to you in Jesus' name. But somewhere in the course of the night, we started chatting about life. We talked more about life than anything else. And at one moment, he said to us, he said, Zenzo and your friend, wait a little minute. I'm going to go upstairs, and I have something for you guys to check out. He went upstairs, and he brought a little note, and he handed this note to me. And I started reading it, and I was confused. At first, I thought, is this a poem? Is this a song? What is this? But in the midst of reading this note, I realized that it was a suicide note. It's a suicide note. And it confused me. I remember thinking, oh, my God, I came from Africa to have the kind of lifestyle this guy has. He was the picture, the epitome of prosperity. I remember thinking, oh my God, I just saw a Bentley outside. This guy has everything that I need. But he wants to take his life. I went to this house that day feeling poor, but I left this house this day knowing that I was richer than this multimillionaire. Somebody shout hallelujah. I left that day knowing I was richer, I was more prosperous than this multimillionaire. I got back home to my little apartment in Lowell with mice in it, thanking God. Come on, somebody. Thanking God for the little apartment and thanking God for the peace. Can I get somebody to thank God in this place for what you have, for what God has given you? You are rich. You are wealthy. You are rich in grace. You are rich in faith. Come on, I need a few saints in this place that are not ashamed to give God the praise and say, I am blessed. I am rich. Look what the Lord has done. I want you to remember where you were when God saved you. You may not have everything you want to have, but you're sure not where you used to be. We're rich. Please listen to me. The self-entitlement spirit has made America poor. The self-entitlement spirit has made the richest nation in the world poor. I see many poor people in this nation. And it's sad that I see believers that are miserable. Come on, you have Jesus inside of you. You have the promise of heaven inside of you. Come on, I came to say one thing to somebody in this place today is that you are rich. Come on, you are rich. You are loaded. Come on, God has blessed you. You are blessed. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that pastor over there is loaded. He's rich. And I'm not apologetic about it because God has blessed me. Please write this down. The devil wants to make you feel poor because Jesus Christ has made you rich. The devil wants to make you feel poor because Jesus has enriched you. He's made you rich. You are rich right now. You're seated with Christ Jesus right now. The enemy wants you to walk around feeling poor. Let me say it this way, and I'm saying it very respectful, but I'm just sick and tired of believers who are always confessing poverty and always miserable. Come on, God has done so much for you. It's time to worship God and thank God, not just because of stuff. How about just praising God for who He is? He is good. His mercies endureth forever. Come on. He can walk on water. He is a good God. He's given us a promise. I'm going to praise God not just because of stuff. I'm going to praise God because of who He is. Somebody shout hallelujah. Please write this down. Gratitude allows you to enjoy the fullness of the riches of God that were purchased for you on the cross. Gratitude allows you to enjoy the fullness of the riches of God that were purchased for you on the cross. Please write this down as well. An ungrateful spirit strips you of the glorious riches that were purchased for you on the cross. It's an ungrateful spirit that's making America poor. It's an ungrateful spirit that's making the church poor. Because once you come into that place where you're ungrateful, you forget everything that God has done for you. On this Thanksgiving weekend, I'm starting a revolution. I want you to walk out of this place today believing that you're rich. I want you to walk out of this place thanking God for what He's done in the past, but also thanking God for what He's about to do for you in the future. Come on. I am rich. Somebody say, I am rich. Somebody say, I am rich. In impact, I want to read another scripture for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. It says, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus so that God can point to us in the future ages as examples. So that God can point to us. God wants to point at you as an example. Woo! In the future ages. As examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as examples of the incredible wealth. In other words, God wants to bless you so much you become a walking billboard of the goodness of God. You're looking at the walking billboard of the goodness of God. When you see me, you are looking at a miracle. I shouldn't be here today. That car accident should have killed me, but when you see what God is doing in my life, you're looking at a walking billboard. Come on, this guy here was homeless in America. Come on, look at me now. Started from the bottom. Now we're here pastoring a church in Boston, in the second most unchurched city in the world. Look at what God is doing. Well, this is not pride. This is just a walking billboard of God's goodness. Come on, can I get a witness from a few people in this place that are saying, this is what God has done in my life. I am a miracle. And I won't be silent. I'll worship my God and I'll praise my God. Somebody say amen and amen. Our family had the opportunity of going to Disney World this week. Somebody say amen. Y'all pray for my legs. I'm still feeling that pain from all that walking. Man, somebody say, Pastor, are you rested? I say, man, I need a vacation. But we had the opportunity of going there. Last year, my daughter Sarah came and said, Dad, I really want to go to Disney. Please, can we go to Disney? And I said, daughter, right now, Disney is not on our priority. There's other things we got to do. But this year, she came again, and I just felt in my spirit that this was time. Come on, somebody. You know when you just feel it. This is time. I felt God saying, why don't you just believe me for the finances to take your family to Disney? Come on. And I knew one day I just woke up and I just knew it. We're going to Disney. It's done. It's a done deal. And I walked to the kids' bedroom and I said, Sarah, hey, kids, guess what? We're going to Disney. And my wife came and she said, hey, honey, can I talk to you? Can we talk? And she added this, can we talk in the bedroom? Can we talk? Those are the three words I hate the most. Ladies, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. If you're going to talk to the brothers, just start talking. You don't have to, yeah, please. You don't have to say, can we talk? We're going to talk tonight. Yeah, we're going to talk tonight. We're going to talk. It's going to be good. We're going to talk. No, just start talking. But it's another thing when she says, we're going to talk, and then she says, let's go do it in the bedroom. So we went there, and she said, hon, you can't make that promise to the kids. Do you know how much it costs to go to Disney? And I said, hon, I just, and normally we discuss these things before we tell the kids, but I said, honey, I just really feel it. It's done. This is the season. This is the time. Let's take the kids. Zenzo is 10. We have 10, 8. We have 6, and we have 5. We're busy people, yo. Amen. If you ever questioned our love, there's the proof. Hallelujah. I don't have 4 kids because I wanted 4 kids. I have 4 kids because I love my wife. Hallelujah. Some old ladies say, man of God, well, let that woman, you know, have some freedom from time to time. I say, who told you she wants freedom? She's the one who's starting all this mess. She can't get enough of this African jangle. Somebody shout hallelujah. But we went to Disney, and when we got to Magic Kingdom, oh my God, it's like, I think it's the next stop before heaven. Because you just feel some things like, wow. I didn't know whether to worship. I'm such a church kid. We walked into Magic Kingdom. I didn't know whether to worship or I didn't know what to do. And my wife was just celebrating, right? She looks at me. She says, hon, I mean, I have 4 kids, but it felt like I went with 5 kids over there. Because I lost my wife. She just started celebrating like a kid. And she said, honey, I love you. I said, no, you love Disney World and me on the side. Well, you got to tell me you love me now. Amen. But this was an I told you so moment. I looked at her and said, I told you so. I told you we're going to Disney. I told you I was going to show you places. I told you when I make a promise, it's a done deal. And in fact, I want to remind you in this place that when Daddy God makes a promise, it's a done deal in the name of Jesus. We are rich. We are prosperous. Why can we believe man and we can't believe God? Come on. I declare that everything He's promised to you is coming to you in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. 2019 is your year. Come on, I see blessings in 2019. Come on, somebody. I see businesses in 2019. Come on, somebody. I see babies upon babies. Every barren womb is opening up in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Celebrate Jesus in this place. I see weddings upon weddings upon weddings in 2019. I see houses and houses and houses in 2019. Come on, somebody. Celebrate your mansion right now in the name of Jesus. Celebrate your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, we are rich. Come on, somebody lift up your voice and shout, hallelujah. He's faithful. He's faithful. By the way, if you're single, that's for you. I see weddings next year in the name of Jesus. Go buy yourself a wedding dress now in Jesus' name. Go buy a suit for the guy you're looking for. Make it be the size of the kind of guy you're believing God for. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. This is faith. Amen. If you believe in God for a house, go buy a key holder in Jesus' name. Because God is doing something in this place. Come on. Can we just celebrate Jesus for a second in this place? He is a good God. Come on. His name is God. Come on. He was never voted in. He can never be voted out. Come on. He's better than any president in the name of Jesus. Come on. He walks on water. Come on. He walks on the storms. He is a great God. Can I hear somebody celebrate in this place? I feel God doing something in 2019. I feel like something good is coming your way in 2019 in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're rich. Somebody say, I am rich. The self-entitlement spirit, the complaining spirit, has impoverished the greatest nation in the world. We are breaking that culture in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, you've got something to thank God for. You are alive today in this place. You may not have everything you want and need, but you are alive and well in this place in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, let's take a little praise break. Get me somebody on that piano and on that drums. Let's take 2 seconds and worship God in this place. Come on, in your own way. Just enter into this spirit of thanksgiving. God, I thank you. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my beautiful wife and my kids. I thank you for this church. Come on. I need a few saints in this place to open up their mouth and begin to praise God. I thank you for how you spared my life in this year. And God, I worship you in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and amen. Now, Impact, we are a teaching ministry. I want to give you 3 things very quickly here that a grateful spirit does. 3 things that a grateful spirit does. Number one, a grateful spirit qualifies you for a blessing. A grateful spirit qualifies you for blessings. And the opposite is true. An ungrateful spirit disqualifies you for a blessing. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. They were slaves. Just imagine this. They're slaves. In other words, they're being told when to get up, when to sleep. They're being told when they can talk to their spouses, when they can talk to their kids. Being told when they can eat, how much they can eat. They're being controlled all the time. And Moses comes and delivers them. And now they're in the wilderness and they're complaining. They says, we should have just died in Egypt. Complaining. This is the American spirit, complaining. God had rescued them and they're complaining. Here's what happened. God wiped all of them. Only 2 made it into the promised land. Somebody say amen. Because an ungrateful spirit would disqualify you for a blessing. They didn't make it in there. Let's read Numbers chapter 14, verse 2. All the Israelites murmured in discontent against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, oh, that we had died in the land of Egypt. Oh, that we had died in this wilderness. Numbers 26, verse 65. For the Lord had said of them, they shall certainly die in the wilderness. And not a man was left of them except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Impact, I want you to know that the bridge between your promised land and your wilderness is thanksgiving. The bridge between your blessing and your wilderness is thanksgiving. Matter of fact, Impact, let me let you know this. Your attitude in the wilderness will determine how long you're going to stay in that desert. Because your thanksgiving is your bridge. Because the spirit of thanksgiving opens up the doors of heaven. Come on, somebody, begin to praise God in this place for blessings. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, God. I give you praise, Jesus. Because here's what happens with many people. Many people say, I'm going to be really happy when I get this. Here's the thing, Impact Church. If you're not happy for what you have now, if you're not grateful for what you have now, you will not be grateful for what God's about to do for you tomorrow. Because thanksgiving is a choice, not an accident. Thanksgiving is a choice, not by chance. It doesn't happen by chance. It's a choice. You choose to be grateful today. You choose to be thankful of what God is doing in your life today. This is what happens with many people. This is the picture of their life. So you're now in high school and you love being in high school. And here's what you say, I'm going to be really happy when I go to college. And so you go to college. And you begin to say, I hate college. I can't stand this. I'm broke all the time. But I'm going to be really happy when I graduate. I can't wait to walk. And then you graduate and you say, I hate not having a job. I'm going to be really happy the day I get a job. And then you get hired. I can't stand this boss. I can't stand what's happening in my life. I'm going to be really happy when I get my business. I want to be my own boss. And then God gives you that business and you say, man, I'm just working too much. I'm going to be really happy when I get married. And then God gives you a spouse. And then, man, God, I thank you for the spouse, but she's kind of crazy. She's driving me nuts. It's crazy to be married. But I'm going to be really happy when we have some kids. And so God blesses you with kids. And you say, God, they're crazier than their mother. Come on, somebody. But God, I'm going to be really happy when we buy a house. So God gives you a house. What do you say? It's too much cleaning this place. It's too big. It's just too much. It's too big. I hate this house. I can't wait until these kids are out. They go to college. We're empty nesters. I can't wait until we downsize and go on vacation somewhere. And then God does that. And then you're miserable. Then you retire. And you go to Malibu in California. Is Malibu in California? Yeah, it is. Okay. Because I think about African cities sometimes in my head. And the sun is amazing. And you say, I hate this sun. It's too much. And then one day, they get the call. Hey, Johnny gone. He was driving. Something happened. He's gone. They call Pastor Zenzo, call Pastor Femi. We bring you in here, roll your casket to the front. People start telling stories how awesome Johnny was. He was a good guy. He loved ice cream. Loved ice cream. Johnny was kind of crazy. And then they take you, put you in the ground. They come back and they eat chicken and potatoes. That's the part that messes me up. They take you to the grave. Put the guy in the ground, come back and eat chicken potatoes. Chicken and potatoes. Is this what life is all about? No, it's not. There's more to life. If we live, we live for God. I want to praise God today. I don't want to waste my life. I want to live for God. I want to worship God. I want to bless God. I want to be in the house of God. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you came to the right place at the right time. Today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. There's more to life than this kind of existence. Here we go, number two. Second point here. A grateful spirit adds life to your days. A grateful spirit adds life to your days. And the opposite is true. An ungrateful spirit robs you of your days. There was a king called King Hezekiah. And he received a death sentence. Somebody came to him and said to him, put your house in order. You're getting ready to die. That's like going into your doctor's office and he tells you you have cancer and you have 2 months to live. That's what happened to Hezekiah. And he went home and he started bargaining with God. God, I have responsibilities. I have things that I need to do. You've got to keep my life. But nothing changed until Hezekiah said to God, but God, if you keep me around, I will worship you. If you keep me around, I'll praise you and I'll praise you and I'll worship you. And God said, I'm adding 15 years to your life because of your praise, because of your thanksgiving. Impact, I want you to know that a grateful spirit adds life to your days. Somebody say amen. I see people who are living life and their days are empty. It's sad. Their days are empty. Because they spend their days complaining. They spend their days murmuring. They spend their days feeling sorry for themselves. And that ungrateful spirit is robbing you of life. It's robbing you of your days. Here's my final point. A grateful spirit frees you from bondages. A grateful spirit frees you from bondages. And the opposite is true. An ungrateful spirit keeps you bound. The Bible says in Philippians 4, from verse 12 to 13, it says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. Somebody say the secret. One more time, somebody shout the secret. In any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, then he says this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You don't qualify to quote that scripture until you have said, I have learned the secret of being content, whether in need or in plenty. Somebody shout hallelujah. Please stand if you can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. I want you to take a moment here, Impact. Would you close your eyes and just begin to think about the riches of God? Begin to count your blessings. Begin to celebrate God for everything he's done. Hallelujah. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Begin to thank God for everything he's done for you. Take your riches back. Take your blessing back. Take your riches back. Take your blessing back. The enemy has impoverished you, but we are becoming rich again today in this place in the name of Jesus. Begin to thank him for your future. Begin to thank him for the future of your kids. Begin to thank him for what he's done in your life. Begin to thank him for his goodness. Begin to worship the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. We worship you. We worship you. Give you praise in this place. Hallelujah. Give you praise in this place, Jesus. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our praise. Celebrate you, Jesus. Celebrate you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Celebrate you, Jesus. Give you praise, Jesus. Give you praise, Jesus. Release a gratitude spirit in this place in Jesus' name. Release a gratitude spirit in this place. Release a gratitude spirit in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Jesus. Impact, I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. And at the third count, I want everybody who's alive in this place, everybody who's grateful, I want us to break that ungrateful spirit with a sound of worship. I want you to lift up your voices and begin to shout and give God praise for everything you see God doing in your future. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Release a sound of worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Impact, while you're doing it, begin to clap your hands and make war with your hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, add a shout to your clap. Add a shout to your clap. Hallelujah. Come on, faith is rising in this place. Something is shifting in this place. God, I thank you for my blessings. I thank you for my life. Come on, 60 more seconds of a radical worship. I will live and not die. I will live to declare the goodness of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it out. You have. That's the reason of our praise. Hallelujah. Declare, death cannot hold you. You are seated in majesty. Come on, with our hands lifted up, sing it big. Declare, hallelujah. Hallelujah.